is Pastor Jeff Chavis, the pastor of Church Online, an online community of faith that you could find at churchonline.com. But we spell that a little differently. We spell it C-H-R-C-H online because we say all that's missing is you. Today, let me ask you, how are you doing today? Has anybody asked you that yet? That's the common question we ask one another when we first meet. Oh, so how you doing? In fact, I've been in conversations. We ask it at the same time. We're just so used to saying, how are you doing? And of course, the response is, oh, I'm fine. Things have been good. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored, right? These are the ways we respond to that. But let me suggest there's probably another question that we should be asking other believers in Christ. What are you doing? What have you been doing? What have you been up to? Specifically, when we ask the question, thinking about those things that we're doing for the kingdom. Now, I recognize it's by grace you are saved through faith, not of your works. It's not about that. But we have been saved for good works. There is something we're supposed to be doing. A kingdom mission that we have that the Lord's given to us. And this might be one way of encouraging one another in our walk, because we also have this tendency to take good things. We're doing good things, but they're not the God things. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. And this is a very, very familiar story in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. It's that story of those two sisters, Mary and Martha. Martha, of course, Jesus comes to their home, and Martha's doing what any person would do in the first century. Jesus and his disciples come to the home and you want to show hospitality. It's a big part of their culture. And she's doing a great thing. She's in the kitchen getting things ready, doing what she should be doing. Mary, on the other hand, is doing something that actually would have been frowned upon in their day and age. She's sitting with the rest of the men, the disciples, listening to Jesus. Now, according to Jesus's words, that was actually doing a better thing. I'll read those words in a moment. But it all comes to this tension point when Martha comes out of the kitchen or wherever she's at and says to Jesus, do you see what my sister's doing? Tell her to do something. Tell her to do the right thing. All of these, sort of that underlying question that she asks, and you have to love Jesus's response. And this is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, 40 and 41. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. This little story reminded me so much of us, our work, our doing, our busyness. And yes, it reminds me of the church, because we have a tendency to do good things. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with what Martha was doing, but it's where her mind is. You got to love the way Jesus says it. You are worried and troubled about many things. You are doing this good bit of hospitality, the thing you should be doing, but you're worried and concerned about who's not doing. Don't we have a tendency to do that? Don't we have that tendency to see, you know, we're busy. We've got our things going. And somebody else who's not busy and we're concerned about what they're doing. That's one of the things that she was worried and troubled about, was what her sister was not doing. And the most important part of this, though, let's take a look at what Mary was doing. Specifically, she's sitting, listening to Jesus. She's in the presence of Jesus. Can you imagine a better thing to be doing? And Jesus says that Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. She's chosen to do the good thing, listening to the teaching of Jesus, being in the presence of Jesus. Let's think about a few things here. Number one, you'd ask that question, why do you think Martha is doing so much doing? I feel like at one part and at one level, she is like so many of us. We have this task that needs to get done. And by the way, she's doing it for Jesus. You know, looking from the outside, this is just a great work that she's doing. But again, it's where her mind is. She's not concerned so much about the hospitality as what her sister is not doing. She's worried and troubled about many things. And how are we guilty of doing that same thing? Have we ever been in that situation? Maybe we're at church and we're serving and we see what other people are not doing. Or looking around at seeing, you know, well, there's a service day and we're out volunteering and we're involved in this busyness. But the reality is this what we should be doing? Jesus gave us our to-do list, you would say, and that's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16 through 20. We call this the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. This is what the church, the people of God, are supposed to be doing. Not staying, but going. Not doing so many great things. Now, believe me, there's a time and a place for us to help widows and orphans and the poor. All of that is important. All of that is stuff that we should be doing. But our primary to-do list includes making disciples. And by the way, we actually make disciples when we are involved in those other things, don't we? We take an individual who is new to the faith and we take them along with us in our doing. That's making disciples. Now, by the way, there's a couple of ways you can look at this. Go, therefore, and make disciples. There are some scholars that will tell you that that word is as you are going. So it's supposed to be something that is happening all the time. Making disciples is just a part of what we do. And by the way, when we say baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that's seeing people one to Christ. That's part of the process. But the other part is teaching them. So sitting at the feet, listening to the teaching of Jesus is still an important part of discipleship. People need to learn. We need to hear the word of God spoken. We need to hear the word of God taught. And then I love the last part of this, and we often miss this part, but it's, I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's understood in this statement that yes, Jesus will be with us always, but especially when we're in the process of making disciples, baptizing them, teaching them. That's all part of the doing, but it's also an important part of his presence with us. What if that's the real way we draw closer to Jesus? As a follower of Jesus now, and I've been a follower for years, for decades now, and in the beginning, I was given a Bible study class. My wife and I were in this young couples class, and the leader of that class saw that I had a real, you know, hunger for the Word of God, and he gave me the teacher guide and said, why don't you teach, Jeff? Because you never learn so much as when you have to teach it to somebody else. Maybe that's the good part. We learn so much when we are making disciples of other people. There's a truth in that. And I love that where he says, and that will not be taken away from you. And I could say that that's true. I've learned things in the scripture that have stayed with me my whole life because I've had to teach other people. So I just want to give you just that little bit of challenge today. Maybe when you see somebody, ask them, what have you been doing? What have you been up to? What are you doing for the kingdom? Are you fulfilling the Great Commission in any area of your life? What does it look like for us to make disciples? How can we encourage one another? Then just simply the question, how are you doing?